begin shortly. Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. Happy Friday, everybody. Joined by Jeff Beagles. I am John Schmelk. 201-939-4513. That's the phone number if you want to call up and talk some Giants football with us. Producer Jeff Beagles came really close that landing a big get. We can't tell you what it was, but we almost made a big get this morning on Big Blue Kickoff. I'm not going to throw names out there, but we hope he came close.
Would have been nice.
Beagles would have gotten a new title.
No, I don't want a new title.
He wouldn't have gotten a raise. No. But it would have been very exciting.
Just another feather in my cap, yes. I would have said.
But anyway, that's okay. We have plenty to talk about, so do not fear. The Giants and Jets in the quote-unquote dress rehearsal, though Bill Belichick would disagree with that description of the game.
Of course he would.
Coming your way from MetLife Stadium, the MetLife Bowl on Saturday night. Should be a lot of fun, Jeff. As we saw in the two games last night, I'm not sure how much of those two games you watched. I watched some of both.
What's the Dolphins a little bit?
Dolphins, Falcons, yeah. And then NFL Network had some Seahawks Cowboys on after that. Okay. They had the live look-in. So I checked out those two games a little bit, and you saw the starters in both games play into the third quarter. So I imagine we'll see most of that on Saturday night. One guy I wouldn't expect to see play into the third quarter, though, is Victor Cruz. He's seeing his first action. I would imagine somewhere between 10 and 20 plays for him, which would probably take him end of the first quarter, maybe into the second, depending on how the quarter goes.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yep.
So it's exciting. We haven't seen Victor Cruz in a game since October 2014. I think October 12th was the date,
if I remember correctly.
So he talked yesterday, was very emotional.
Yeah.
He's excited. The team's excited. Fans are excited. It'll be great to have him back out there playing in an NFL football game.
And he's, you know, you could tell he's just, it means a lot to him.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what he's gone through, all the injuries, it's just going to be a big night for him. It's a big night for Giants fans, is to be able to see number 80 in a uniform. You know, Coach McAdoo had mentioned it was just nice to see him in a uniform for pregame last week. You know, now we're going to be able to see him. And it's just a matter, and Eli had mentioned a little bit in his interview yesterday about, somebody had asked him about, you know, do you try to get the ball to Victor Cruz? And he's like, you know, you don't go out there trying to get him a catch or whatever. It just depends on the coverage. It depends on the play. So, yeah, maybe if he's in there 10 or 15 plays, he maybe gets a couple catches. I really would like to see him get one catch and just do something.
And I know Eli said that. Ben McAdoo did say yesterday when he spoke to the media that we're going to try to get the ball in his hands. So my guess
is
that,
who are you going to believe?
In those first few series, I'm not going to say they're going to run specific plays for him, but I'll put it this way. The plays they do call, my guess
will be going his way,
is that he might be the first or second option on those plays,
right,
if he happens to be open. If he's not open or the coverage dictates you go somewhere else, the Giants will go somewhere else, and that's fine. But my guess is that they will try to get him involved. Frankly, Jeff,
they have to,
just to see what he can do. They haven't seen him in a game in 22 months.
He's got to get hit.
Yes.
He's got to run routes.
Yes.
Obviously.
He's got to catch the ball with the pressure of getting hit.
Yeah. And really, when we talk about Victor Cruz, and we could talk about this for any player coming off of injury.
Right.
It's a matter of, you know, those things we just said, but more importantly for him, confidence. You know, I came out of a game. I went into a game. I made a couple plays. I made a couple catches. Confidence in your mind and body, it makes a difference for these guys. And it really, for this offense, it makes a huge difference.
And I want to see if he lets go. I want to see if he gets to the point in this game where he's not thinking anymore and he's just into in-game Victor Cruz mode, where you see him coming
react
in and out of his breaks.
Yeah, just react.
React, coming off the line of scrimmage, where he looks exactly like the guy he used to be. And I'm curious to see if something clicks in, because you know how practice is.
No, you don't.
You're thinking. You're not locked in. You're not in the mode. You're not in the zone. I want to see him get in the zone on Saturday night.
I would love to see him get in the zone. And whether he'll line up a slot outside, as we know, he could play all of them. So we'll see. But for me, welcome back, Victor Cruz. And you know, for the fans, we're just really happy to see number 80 back on the field. Now let's see what he can do. And I think it's important for this offense to have him on the field. And really, when we talk about it, it means a lot for him to come back personally, but from an organizational standpoint, what can we see here? This is really dependent on, is he going to be on the team this year? Absolutely. You know, this guy is, you know, somebody called in yesterday. Are they going to cut Victor Cruz? Like they're not going to cut Victor Cruz if he's healthy.
If he's playing in games,
he's the number one or two receiver.
He's not going anywhere.
Not number one, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, of
no.
course.
No.
That's crazy.
So I'm sure that the fans will be happy to see him. And, again, it's against the Jets, which would even be better. And you go back a few years back, this is where Victor Cruz wearing number three. Remember? We saw on the MSG show last night. We saw some clips on it. It just didn't look good. Number three.
It looked weird, didn't it?
It looked weird.
Ooh,
it really
weird.
Did.
It really did look weird. But anyway, we'll see Victor out there. Unfortunately, we will not see the entire first-team offense. A couple days ago, I thought we would when Justin Pugh practiced in full on, I guess that was Tuesday.
Full padded.
Then when they had their super-duper practice on Wednesday, he was not out there in full. I think he did some individual, didn't do team stuff. And you know what? Justin Pugh is a veteran. He's been here a long time.
He's had some
practice. If you
want
to hold him out of a game, that is absolutely fine. That's no problem. You give Bobby Hart more reps. I wouldn't be surprised, Jeff, if we saw Bobby Hart play every offensive snap. Play some at left guard.
They should.
And play some at right tackle.
They
that
should.
Would not surprise me.
That wouldn't surprise me. I really would have liked to see that starting five offensive line.
Me too. I agree.
You know, play along each other and get some cohesiveness going into the game. They really have only played a total of 14 or 15 snaps collectively, all those guys together.
Especially against a great defensive
no
front
question.
Like the Jets.
Oh, yeah. I mean, these guys are, even without snacks, they're still pretty darn good, you know, their defensive line for the Jets. So, and interesting enough that, you know, Snacks, reading about the game and some comments he had, he keeps in touch with those guys like every day. He's talking to his buddies, and that's not strange because he spent a lot of time there. These are his really good friends. They talk in football, but it'll be a little bit different from him going against his ex-teammates in a game situation rather than just a practice situation. So it should be good to watch.
Should be a lot of fun to watch, and hopefully the Giants can get that running game going. It looked very good in the first preseason game. It didn't look so good in the second preseason game, and in general, the first-team offense has not scored a touchdown so far in this preseason with Eli Manning as their quarterback. So they'd like to get at least a couple scores up on the board against the Jets defense. That certainly provides some level of challenge for any offense. But, Jeff, let me put it this way. I don't want to go to a dark place here. But how important is it for this offense to give you something? You know, last year the offense in preseason wasn't good either, but Eli did go 12 of 16 in the Jets game, and you're like, all right, we're going to be fine. How important is it for you to have that, oh, we're going to be fine type of moment on Saturday night?
What I want to see from the offense, aside from putting some points up, because they have not, like you said, scored a touchdown with Eli in there. Obviously, he missed the first preseason game. To me, I want to see some drives. I want to see some first downs. I want to see some third down conversions. And I also want to see running the football in first and second down and getting into what we call those manageable third down situations. This preseason has been horrible as far as third down conversions, you know, especially when the second team's been in their third team. It's three and out. And I think, to me, this offense can be really good. It starts with the offensive line, and you mentioned it, John, about getting the running game going. You know, get that point of attack. You know, those tight ends got to set the edge. They really have to block better this game. So if there's some things you guys want to look for in the game, look at that tight end position specifically. Watch the blocking, how much better they got from last week's game to this week's game. They had a little bit of change up in their practice routine. You know, Mike Sullivan, who spoke to the media yesterday or the day before, I believe, whatever it was mentioning that the tight ends, Kevin Gilbride, who is the tight ends coach, brought his guys down to work with Mike Soleri, who's the offensive line coach. And so they're trying to get a little bit more technique and fundamental work on that blocking. They should spend all their time down there right now. You know, I think they all can catch the football. I think they all can run with it. I think ball security is obviously a point of emphasis for the whole offense, having as many turnovers as they had in the preseason. But from the tight end position, keep an eye on that. We don't know about Will Johnson, you know, with his injury, if he'll play or not, but he is a big part of that too. But to me, John, to answer your question, this offense needs to show me some long drives, put some points on the board. I'd also like to see some opportunities for Randy Bullock to get some kicks in this preseason. You know, they want to go into the regular season. You know that there's going to be a kicker that's not going to be Josh Brown opening day. Who's it going to be right now? He's in camp, and if he proves that he can do it, then he'll be your guy. But I want to see him kick some kickoffs and some field goals too.
How about the defense? You know, we've seen this defense out there. The first-team defense, frankly, has looked pretty good.
No question.
In the time it's been out there. The Jets offensive line, Nick Mangold's very good. They obviously have a lot of turnover. Clady's in from Denver. DeBrickashaw Ferguson announced his retirement. They have some other players in there that have kind of been up and down over the last couple of years. I would like to see – you know who I want to see get a sack in this game?
Snacks.
No, I want to see JPP get a sack.
Yeah. We got OB's got one.
I've seen JPP sniff.
Yeah.
I haven't seen him get super-duper close yet. I've seen OV. I know what he can do, and right. We've seen it. Yeah. I want to see JPP –
the new JPP.
Sniff some blood on the water right. In this
and
game.
And he'll get a chance now playing, you know. And last game, the first-team defense played a lot more than the first-team offense did. They were in there quite a bit of plays. I agree with you there. I'd like to see, we're really trying to find some depth at that safety position. Nat Burhey is going to get the start this weekend.
Yep.
So he has a lot to prove there, and so do the young guys behind him. Bennett Jackson is going to play not safety. They've moved him to cornerback for everybody that didn't know that.
We might see him in both spots. We'll
I would imagine that versatility.
Especially
word,
with two safeties out.
No question, yeah. So, you know, they're defensively there. Linebackers, you know, you got a fierce competition going there in the middle.
Brinkley and Shepard.
And that's going to go down to the wire. Coach Spagnuolo had spoke a little bit about that, and really they're trying to find that middle linebacker that can play three downs.
And the quote-unquote neck and neck, that is the quote yep. from the defensive coordinator.
And he also said they're divvying up the reps evenly. It's a fierce competition. But like he said, and it kind of makes sense, that middle linebacker, you would love to have the affordability to have him in on that third down. They want that guy. Whether that's going to happen or not is going to determine the depth of that position. And we've talked about, are they going to keep six? Are they going to keep seven? That's what it's going to come down to.
And even better, Jeff, Jonathan Casillas is a guy
what a
that
great
has
camp.
Kind of strangleholded that weak side linebacker spot. But JT Thomas is now off PUP. He kind of had that job for a good portion of last year.
They're going to ease
now,
him back.
He's not going to do a ton in this game.
Exactly.
Maybe a dozen snaps.
Yeah.
We'll
ease
see.
Ease him back a little
and
bit.
And I doubt he'll be in there with the starters. He'll be a second-half type of player. So we'll see what he can do. But he's going to have to do a lot now in this final two preseason games and in the limited two whatever type of practice they'll have last week. They don't do much next week because it's a short work week. He's going to have to do a lot because JT Thomas has impressed a lot of people.
I tell you who has impressed me this preseason of all the linebackers, it's been Casillas. He's healthy, and he's eager. He's a football guy, and I think that he has a lot to prove to himself coming off of a year last year where he was up and down. But, so watch him. B.J. Goodson is a guy that's very, very young, has had a good preseason. But Spags has said, he's young. He's got a lot of football to learn. One thing that people have to understand, too, is that when the young guys, Eli Apple, any of the young guys that are out of the lineup, you're talking about Thompson, these guys, it's tough for them to miss time because they're so young. It's very valuable when they are able to play in the preseason. When they're out with injuries, they miss that time for a rookie. It's very, very important. So you're going to get Eli Apple back this week, but Darren Thompson is going to be out of this game. So that's going to, that's kind of set him back a little bit as far as an experience.
Before we get to your calls at 201-939-4543, I'm introducing a new game. And now Jeff isn't aware of this, but we're going to play it throughout the year, and I'm going to have some fun with you.
All right, well, what is it?
How long was your NFL career?
22.
Okay, so you play on 22 different teams.
five different teams.
No, but 22 different rosters.
22 different rosters.
Each year you have a different set of players.
Gotcha.
So here's the game we're going to play once per show with you, whether it's me or Lance over the course of the year.
Okay.
Was this man ever Jeff Fiegel's teammate? Dun-dun-dun.
Oh, nice. All right.
Okay? So we're going to have some fun here. And every week we'll throw out you, every show we'll throw out one
name. I'm going to have to think about
this,
too.
And you need to figure out
whether
or not
of roster,
you ever played with this guy.
This
and then if you think you did, I want you to tell me what year you played with this guy.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Now, again, if you get the year right, that's a bonus. I just want to know whether or not you remember all your teammates, which I think is a little bit more fun.
I like this.
Okay.
I like this.
So here we go.
I
looked it up yesterday, and I have a name for you today. Did Jeff Fiegels ever play on the same roster as Reggie Dupard?
Yes.
With what team and what year?
Okay, Reggie Dupard was with – oh, my God. Oh, Reggie Dupard is this. Okay. Can you give me
early career.
Early career. It was with the Eagles?
Nope.
Damn it.
You played with them on the New England Patriots.
Okay, so that was my – okay. Wow, Reggie Dupard. Yep. That's it.
In I know
89.
For a fact he was on your 89 roster.
89 team, yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah.
So this is the game we're going to play.
That's cool.
And eventually we're going to throw out guys, and we're going to see whether or not you played with these guys to see how much you remember.
And maybe maybe a caller can ask me for about a player.
And eventually
while,
I'm going to come up with a little production thing that we can have fun with, too.
All right.
You like that?
I love it.
Okay,
Reggie Dupart. I definitely remember. Now,
what position did Reggie Dupart
play? He was a receiver.
Running back, I think.
Okay.
I think he was a running back. Hold on. Let me see.
Folks.
Reggie Dupard was a running back.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay. Wow.
Oh, I'm going to have a lot of fun.
This is
going to
be a lot of fun.
Oh, this is going to be awesome.
And I'm going to just full disclosure on this. I don't have a great memory.
I know you don't. That's why I want to play the game.
I just want to make sure that people know this. Is that, I mean, if you even go back probably 4 years, like maybe 2 years before I retired, I may have a problem with who was on the roster. I really may have a problem. It's just I don't know why. I think it's maybe just because I was just so, you know, worried about what I was doing.
You're also generally a little scattered brain sometimes.
A little bit, but I mean, there's a lot of people. My goodness.
Okay, I'm happy Jeff likes the game. Here we go.
Now let me ask you. I wanted, real quickly, to clarify. Is it an active roster? It wasn't like training camp.
I'm not gonna throw. They would have to play it in a game.
Okay, so that's fine because, you know, back in 88 through whatever
years. 150 guys in training camp?
120 guys.
Yeah, I'm not going to ask you training camp, guys. Just frankly, there's no way for me to find out who was in training camp.
All right, that's
it'll be only guys that played in a game.
I like it.
Okay?
Yep.
201-939-4513. Let's get to the phone. Let's go to T in Maryland. T's up first. T, what's going on?
Good morning, John, and good morning, Jeff. Jeff, I wanted to say thank you. You were awesome, your Giants career.
I remember
Jeff when he was with the Eagles, and I was like, damn, he's coming to punt again? He's going to start at the 5 again, and I used to hate that. Like, I hated Jeff until he put on that blue uniform, and I was like, oh, yes, nice. I love him now.
I had somebody ask me one time if the Eagles hired me because of my name. Feagles with the Eagles.
The Eagles.
I told them I hope not. I really do. I hope they hired me because of the way I could kick. But thank you so much. I appreciate that very much.
No, you're welcome, man. You're a very humble guy, man.
I was
up at practice a couple times, and you don't like the spotlight.
No,
it's
I don't.
That's so rare, man. But I just want to say thank you for your service.
You're welcome.
And now I got to get to it.
I'm excited
to see Victor Cruz. And honestly, everyone jumping on this whole O-line thing, I'm not going to go do the Charlie route. But you know what I really
– He's labeled now, Charlie.
He's a legend. No, Charlie is honestly a legend. I think people talk more about Charlie than they do Paul Dottino at this point on the show. It's ridiculous.
But you know what? And you know what? And Lance is my witness to this. I think John knows it too. I normally don't call in. I'll listen until Charlie calls. And when Charlie calls, it's like
the board lights up when Charlie calls.
You know, guys, I need you guys not to start saying all these things. And Charlie's gonna want me to start writing them checks for getting this ratings. I don't want that.
I have to talk our fans off the ledge. Like, hey, come on, guys, don't listen. But you know what? Justin Pugh made a good point, and I saw it myself. Man, I've always said John Jerry was an excellent pass blocking guard, but last week, man, his run blocking was very, very good. And if you just key in and look at, because I don't watch preseason for wins and losses.
Of course.
I watch it for the young guys. I love seeing the young guys. Like, you know, my greatest preseason game was when I was 16. I went to go see the Giants play, and Rodney Hampton took a 97-yard kickoff back, and I'm a Georgia fan, and it was just excited to see that. So I go to see the young guys play. And I'm telling you, man, I'm really excited about this season. I want to see Victor Cruz do good. I've been pulling for him. I'm happy to see him get out there and play. I've been watching the practices. He's been on the website, and he's been looking good. So, hey, I'm excited, man. I think it's going to be really good. And hey, I'm like you guys. And John, you brought up a good point with Dottino a couple of days ago when you were saying about, you know, hey, the preseason, the Giants didn't do well last season, and they had the number 6 rated offense. So I think it's going to be fine. We're going to be all right. So, hey, all Giants fans, just relax. Take it easy. Enjoy the preseason games for what they are. Watch the young guys. Watch these young pups do what they do, and you're going to see a big improvement. A big improvement. Oh, one last thing.
Yes.
You guys were dead on with Jonathan Casillas. Because I've been a JT Thomas fan since he, like, really wrecked us in that Jags game a couple of years ago. And when they got him, I was all on him. And I'm still a big JT Thomas fan. But Jonathan Casillas, oh, my God, man, this guy's been playing lights out.
Yeah.
Even the practices I went to this year up at the facility, I was like, oh, my God, he's been all over the field. And I'm like, yes, a weak side linebacker that can do what he does would be perfect for Spags. I'm like, man, this guy's going to have a good year. I really feel it.
Thank you, T.
All right, guys.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for the help.
And this is kind of what I said to Paul, in a reference back to what he was talking about. You want to play well in the regular season. You always want to play in the preseason. You always want to play well when you're out there. Preseason, games don't count. I get that.
But they
matter. If you have a preference, you'd rather have the team do well. But if they don't do well, it's not a killer. And you're not going to freak out. Now, if the Giants come out and they give you zero on offense again and they get shut out like they did against the Bills last week, is there going to be concern?
Yes,
there's going to be concern. But is there a reason to panic and a reason to assume that's going to carry into the regular season? The answer to that question is no. You let the regular season speak for itself at that point. But, again, no reason to panic. If nothing happens tomorrow,
no panic.
We'll have the conversation. There'll be some concern. And quite frankly, I'm sure there'll be some concern with the coaches as well and the players. Nobody wants to go out there and, you know, play poorly for three straight weeks offensively.
No.
That's the nature of the beast. But preseason is still preseason.
It doesn't count, but it matters. That's the thing.
That, you know, I think I've been trying to figure out a very succinct way to put it. It doesn't count, but it matters.
I'm going to steal that term from Booger McFarland, who I listened to. He was on the radio this morning, and he said that. And
it really
made sense.
That's good. I like that.
So I have to give credit to Booger. But
good job,
Booger often hopes it pops on Sirius. And so I will tell you that you're spot on. No panic, no game planning, nothing of this stuff. It's evaluation, evaluation, evaluation. This third game, in the coaches' minds, they probably have 80 to 90% of who is going to make this roster. You know that. It's important for the back end of the roster to play in the second half, and that fourth preseason game is all about probably four or five players. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, probably the last half dozen roster spots,
yeah, absolutely.
Give or take.
Yeah, absolutely.
I buy that.
Okay, so, yeah. But when you go to do anything, if you don't prepare for something, I mean, what I'm getting is about game planning. If you don't have a plan and you're just going to go run something generically, how well is it really going to work?
And this week, it's still not a full game plan, but it's more.
It's some because,
it's
you know
more.
What, they have to do a little game planning to be able to evaluate and get a sense of
correct.
Will this? How is our offense and defense and special teams really going to work?
Absolutely. So. Robin in Atlanta. She's up next on Big Blue Kickoff.
Hi, Robin.
Giants.com. Robin, welcome aboard.
Hey, how you doing? This is Robin, man.
Hey, okay, Robin, what's up, man? Sorry about that.
Yeah, I was calling. I just for the Jets game, I'd like to see on the offense if they could get some first down, move the ball.
No question.
That'd be nice.
No.
That'd be nice.
A couple of possessions. Then on the defense, I know on the Buffalo game, we actually gave up some secondary. We actually gave up some big plays. So I'd like to see if we cut back on that.
You know, Robin, the funny thing about those big plays, and I'll let you continue, is that that wasn't a situation where your corners are getting beat or your safeties are getting beat. That was linebackers getting put in bad matchups on tight ends and running backs. And no one's covering LeSean McCoy in those situations. So it's good that it wasn't the secondary, but at the same time, you want that coverage by your safeties and your linebackers to be better as well. So I'm on board with that.
And that was, they were also put in positions that typically there was probably going to be a different defense called in those situations. It was just basic, you know, that just happens in those types of games.
Yeah.
I mean, even Coach Spagnuolo said on Dante Dion's second play where they went right back at him, Coach Spag said, that's my bad, he said. I would never put him in that position in a regular season game. I would have had a different defense.
Yeah, but he was actually playing outside on Little on that play, right.
But, I mean, it was you could see they went right back at him, which, you know, but anyways.
Anyway, go ahead, Robin.
All right, and
go ahead, Robin.
One thing I was calling it. I want to see what's up with Antoine Roll. Is he still playing, or because I was wondering if he's not playing no more, if he's planning on retiring.
I'm not sure if Antoine Roll is planning to retire. He might, you know, if a team wants him. I'm not sure if he's willing to play again this year. He might be. I honestly don't know. But I know he keeps himself in great shape. And that's never a question. He's a smart player. So
he's
sure if another team knocks on his door, he'd be willing to consider it. But as far as I understand it, there's nothing active going on. But then again, there could be. We just don't know about it.
What about, like, bringing him, like, as a, you know, like a coaching, some type of coaching capacity or something like that?
Well, Robin,
he actually is a great player.
No, he is, and I think he'd be an excellent coach, to be honest with you, with his intelligence and his charisma and his attention to detail. I will always say this, though, about former star players, and I'll call Entrevue a former star player.
Sure,
he's a Pro Bowler.
Absolutely.
It's very hard for a former star player to come back and be an assistant coach because you're making literally, in some instances, you know, 5% of what you made as a player – And
putting in 105% more.
So you put more work into the assistant coach job, and you get paid 5% of what you made before.
Right.
Why would anybody want to do that?
Well, they're only going to do it if that's their ambition to be a coach, and they understand because they've been in the league as long as he has.
Right.
He knows what it's going to take.
You got to love the game.
You got to love the game, and you got to have a lifestyle that's going to let you do that. And if you have young kids,
and
that's not going to be.
Does have a young daughter,
and that's not going to work most likely.
Absolutely. So. Thanks for the call, Robin.
All right.
Yeah, Robin.
All right,
have a good one. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
But you know, it is. They, you know, you listen. We're around this building enough to know how these coaches never leave here.
No.
You know, so
no, it's a crappy job.
It is. It's fun. It's just something. It's like a school teacher. You know, it really, like, school teachers, you got to love to be a school teacher because you're not getting paid a lot of money.
I got a funny story for you. So me and Bob went up there at Papa to do the Coach McAdoo interview, the radio broadcast yesterday. It was our first Friday in coach's office.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it was fun. Coaches, you know, we're starting to figure out the rhythm of the whole thing. So we sit down, and Bob, final question of the interview, and you can hear this on our radio broadcast on WFAN tomorrow night at 6:35, which Jeff will not be a part of. He has bailed on us and just said, you guys aren't important anymore, and I have more important things to do.
I'm probably down in the standings, in fact, and, you know,
fact or fiction, fact,
and all that, so I didn't want to come on and ruin my chances, right?
Anyway, so Howard Cross will be pinch hitting for you in the pregame show.
Oh, nice. That's very good. Thank you, Howard.
The authority will be in the house. So,
no question.
So Bob asked the question, you know, Coach, do you have any fun doing this? Is this fun for you being
head
coach
question.
For the first time? You know, just try to, you know, get it, loosen them up a little bit. And Coach goes, Bob, I said this to my wife last year when I came home a little angry sometimes. I said, I'm the offensive coordinator. I'm not the happiness coordinator. And I thought it was a great line.
Yeah,
I thought it was really funny.
Yeah.
And after the interview, I go, you know, Coach, that's a great line, happiness coordinator. I might have to use that on my wife. I'm not the happiness producer. He goes, John, my wife didn't like the comment too much.
Yeah, I wouldn't imagine. Yeah, yeah. He should have asked his wife how do you feel about that?
Man.
Right?
Oh,
yeah. I'm sure that she's not happy most of the time either with her husband being gone. You know, 15 out of the 24 hours.
I'm not the happiness coordinator. It's fantastic.
They know.
It's a great line.
And from a coach's standpoint, you know what you're getting into. These guys are lifers. You know, most of the coaches, they really – and it's a long, long traveled road to get to where these guys get to.
I mean, you got to go be a GA in colleges.
There. Yeah.
Which basically means you've got to find some type of room to sleep in because you're not getting paid
it. You're basically getting your school paid for. That's
it. But sometimes if you've already graduated, you know, where you live
in. Oh, yeah. Exactly.
I mean, you're like an assistant special teams something
you're
in college.
In a van down by the river.
You are living in a van down by the river. Absolutely.
It's a long road.
Bill Bradsky, was that his name? Right, that was the character's name, right? But Bill Bradsky, van down the river?
I'm going with the
Saturday Night Live, Chris Farley.
Yeah, Chris Farley.
Oh, I think the name of the guy he played.
Oh, is that what it was?
Was Bill Bradsky? Yep, Bill Bradsky.
Wow, nice
job.
How about
that?
There's another name I would have never.
It's not Bill Bradsky. Shoot, that's a different character. That's the guy at the bar. Hold on, let me see if I can figure out the name of the thing.
But you know, these coaches—it is a long road, man. It really is.
Matt Foley.
Matt Foley.
Yeah, Matt Foley.
Hi, I'm Matt Foley.
The best part of that skit, by the way, is I think it was Christina Applegate was the host, and she's sitting next to David Spade. Neither one of them could stop laughing.
Oh, you could see it in their face.
They
were just rolling. Yeah, the next time you watch it, don't focus on Chris Farley.
No,
focus on the other ones. They're just.
It was the same. There was another skit later on. Did you ever see the Debbie Downer skits?
Some of them.
And they play the trombone, like, and they'd won in Disneyland. And Jimmy Fallon, who was notorious for never being able to keep a straight face on that show, he literally, him and Lindsay Lohan, who was the host on that show, just laughed out loud in the middle of the skit. And the girl's trying to do, like, the Debbie Downer voice, and she's like, twitching, trying not to laugh.
Yeah.
Dude, great. When you have a chance, YouTube that. Disneyland,
when he falls
Downer,
on that
fantastic.
Table, it's just, oh, my God.
201-939-4513. Hopefully nobody falls on any tables on Saturday night. Joe in Pennsylvania, what's going on, Joe? How are you?
Uh, time for kickoffs counting down. This is the big one.
What's up, Joe?
We get our act together.
Yeah, get your act together, Joe. Come on, what's going on?
It's there. My blood's getting pumped. You know what I mean? And like I said, this game here, I agree all you said what you want to see. But what we got to start with is what we didn't start with last week. We got to play with discipline. And
yeah,
it was terrible last week. I mean, running backs and quarterbacks can't hand off the ball. All kind of misassignments. The receivers got to catch the ball. All kind of goofy penalties. We got to engage our brain first and give ourselves a chance.
Engage
really
the
chewy.
Brain. I like it.
Hey, Joe, listen, you know, I'm looking at my notes from the game last week. First possession, Giants. John Jerry penalty on a 3rd and 7. The second possession, mm-hmm. okay, Flowers, a holding penalty, okay? Third possession for the Giants, a penalty on Richburg, holding on a 3rd down for the first 3 possessions. So you nailed it.
Kind of hard to succeed that way, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
Right. I would be like Coughlin or Parcells. I'd go right over these players and listen. If you don't play under control and think and know your assignments and these goofy penalties, you are setting down. And if it continues, you're out of here. That's it.
Yep.
You can't continue like this. You know, I was so bummed out last week, you know what I mean? That one play there with the he was a rookie. Okay, Perkins. I guess McAdoo said it was his fault. But, I mean, the play stopped, and you could see the cornerback coming up to the line of scrimmage. And then the play stopped, and he went back. And then it continued, and he came up the next play and ran in like nobody's business. These fumbles, all this stupid stuff. On defense, how many, the new cornerback we got in, he looked like a rookie at first. I hate to say it, with his holding penalties in that. What
Who,
was his name?
Jenkins or Eli Apple?
No, you're talking about Leon Hall.
Oh, right.
Oh, Leon
right.
Hall. I got you.
Right. He had a couple
Two.
Holding penalties that
one on a crucial
hey,
third
you know,
down.
You know, Joe, remember this with Leon Hall. He's a guy that didn't do anything all spring. He wasn't a free agent because the team didn't want him. He was a free agent because he was still recovering from back surgery. So, you know, he was late coming in here. So I assumed when he got here it was going to take some time for Leon Hall to kind of get into the mix and figure things out. And I think he's still kind of in that process. Remember, he's only been here, what, 2.5 weeks?
About
Leon
that.
Hall,
yeah.
And I'm not sure how much he was able to do physically before he got here in terms of training. So I think it's a bit of a work in progress for him. And remember this, too. They've been using him at safety a little bit. So his veteran smarts are going to allow the Giants to be very creative with how they use him.
Well, who's going to put him in a nickel there? I thought, who's the guy we had last year? We can't go to Dallas and start off like this
McBride.
And keep giving them chances like that. We won't be in the game.
Well,
you
listen,
know?
You know what? No team can start off with penalties on offense, penalties on defense, and turnovers. That's a recipe for disaster.
Right.
So
you
got to button those things
first.
Up.
You got to think. You got out there. You better know your assignments and no stupid penalties.
Yeah.
And I would set them down, and they bet that first thing you get out there, whatever you do, everything's going crazy. You think in your mind what your assignment is. That's the first thing, no matter what, because if we – excuse me, mess up, we ain't giving ourselves a chance, even if we're slower off the ball, you know? So that, you know what I mean? And that's all I really want to say. We got to play
Jeff.
Under control. And I want to guess Jeff's special guest there. Was he somebody in the Giants Ring of Honor you almost had?
That would be incorrect.
Incorrect. Good guess.
Well,
though.
Okay, maybe the next player can narrow it down if it was a coach or a player or somebody in the Giants organization.
Thank
so,
you, Joe.
Hey. Go Giants! My blood's pumping. Play under control.
Appreciate it. Now you were never your potential guest teammate either, right? You were never his teammate, right? The guy you almost pulled for me.
Yes.
You were his teammate.
Yeah.
1 year.
Yeah.
Okay. 201-939-4513.
07. Right?
201-939-4513. No.
No, I was not.
No, you were not.
I was not.
See, this is why was he Jeff's teammate is going to be so much fun. He doesn't remember his last year in the league and was on his damn team.
09? What, 09?
I don't want to give too many details. Anyway.
Well, now you got me thinking.
No,
well, distracted.
No.
I'm not going to be able to
so,
answer any of the
way,
phone calls.
Joe brought up this, and then I got a couple tweets here I want to address, too, because he brought up the first game against the Cowboys. So I have a couple other Cowboy questions here, too, about getting ready for that first game. At Gruenben, Romo hurt his back again last night. He's played 3 plays this preseason. I just looked it up. He's played more than that. He completed 5 passes overall in the play. So he hasn't played a lot, though. Fair point. Think that'll factor into Rusty Romo in game one. Second question is from at Jack in the Box, at hashtag Giants chat. If you saw Ezekiel Elliott yesterday, you have to be worried the Cowboys always have to have some type of X factor that drives that team. Comments. So do you want to give me the Romo and Ezekiel Elliott thing?
Is he the X factor this year for them?
I think Romo's the X factor given the health factor, sure.
We know what Ezekiel Elliott is going to be with that offensive line. That's what they're going to do.
They're going to run the football. Did you see any of his highlights last night?
No, but I can just imagine. Yeah.
Dude, he lowered his shoulder and stood up Camp Chancellor.
Well, you know what? I hope he lowers his shoulder more so it hurts his shoulder. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
That's what they're going to do. The X factor to me for there.
I should point out that even though Romo came out of that game, the Cowboys say it's nothing serious. He could have went back in if it was a regular season game. I'm not sure if you saw the play. It did not look
great. No, I just
saw
it just a picture
really
of it.
It looked really awkward. It was kind of one of those deals where he tried to slide, and I think it was Cliff Avril. Jumped on him from behind as Romo hit. He never actually started to slide.
Oh, so he's sliding in here.
Yeah, he basically jerked him right into the ground and moved his back forward. And I think he had a disectomy Romo had 2 years ago?
Well, I was going to say,
like
he's had a back injury. So, here's a picture of it.
Yeah, I mean, but imagine full weight on his shoulders when he got hit like that. So it was not good. But apparently he's healthy, who knows, but we'll figure that out in a couple of weeks. That first game against the Cowboys, which, by the way, guys, I know we're going to talk a million times about that game. Here's one thing I've learned about Giants-Cowboys in my time here with Big Blue. No one has any freaking clue what's going to happen in those games.
They don't.
They are weird. They're wild. They're all over the place.
They're nuts.
No clue.
We don't have enough time to start to talk about this.
I mean,
game.
Just think of the final game last year when the Giants finally broke that losing streak against Dallas. I think it was 5-game losing streak, something like that. Whatever it was. Matt Cassel was in the game, right? Cowboys couldn't win with him on the field.
No.
In that game, the Giants still had an interception return for a touchdown and a kick return, or was it a punt to do it? No, Bleen Howard was a punt or a kick in that game?
I think
it was a kick.
Yeah.
Kick for a touchdown, and it was still a fairly close game late. That's how crazy those Giant-Cowboys games can be. So, very important game. I look forward to it, but it's going to be wild, especially those games down in Dallas.
And they're going to run the football.
Try to run the football. See if they can against Hankins and Snacks.
Well, I should have said try, but their intent is going to be to run the football. But
do you think they're going to purposely try to run outside more, knowing those two guys in their middle, or can you not game plan that way?
I mean, do you think about the game when you were sitting there? Snacks Harrison, one of the leading defenders in the league at topping the run. Okay, all right, we'll go outside. Both Olivier Vernon and these guys are pretty good against – I don't know.
That's true.
I just think their whole intent is to run the football and protect Romo. Let everybody else make the plays. Just please cover Jason Witten.
And ideally, the Giants should be able to take advantage of a defense that has a lot of suspensions.
Oh,
my
goodness.
Has some health issues.
Yeah.
The Giants should be able to score some points in that first game.
I think that this will be a shootout again.
Well, both teams at 30.
Yes.
Ooh, bold. That is a preview for Fact or Fiction, Game 1 in Big D. 201.
Write it down.
939-4513. Q and East Orange. He's up next. Q, what's happening, pal?
Hi, Q.
How you guys doing?
Wonderful.
What's up, buddy?
What's going on? Happy Friday.
Yeah, it is happy. Game is tomorrow, so I'm happy about that. I wanted to touch on, it's funny now that I listen to the show every day.
Appreciate it.
Love the show. And, it's real funny that now that when people call up and talk about the offensive line, it's a Charlie subject. Like, Charlie just stole the thunder of any type of offensive line conversation when, if you got two eyes and you're a knowledgeable football fan, you'll pretty much figure out, what the weakness of the New York Giants is. I wouldn't say weakness, but I would say, a position area where we can upgrade and improve.
So Charlie really isn't a genius.
Yeah. I mean, Charlie's my boy.
Yet,
so I want to put that on record. Charlie's my boy. I like Charlie.
I like Charlie too. He's fun. I like Charlie.
No,
you know
I'm
that.
Not saying none of you guys don't like him, but Charlie's my boy.
Well,
I like Charlie.
I'm not sure if everybody likes him.
But
I like him.
I think that we didn't prioritize making offensive line better this season like we prioritized the defense. And I understand you can't do everything that you know that your team needs to do to make them better in one offseason. I understand. I truly understand that. But you know, the game of football to what I understand is one in the trenches. You know, when you have a solid offensive line, a solid defensive line, you know that's the foundation of a really good team. You know, so I just don't understand why we didn't prioritize, you know, upgrade offensive line. And the reason for is because, you know, I've noticed a lot of fans are getting falling in love with the fact that, you know, we were a top 10 offense. You know, I understand that, but I would shift most of that credit to Odell Beckham, because without Odell Beckham, we're nowhere near a top 10.
Yeah, but Q, that's fair. But that's the case for every team. If you take, you know, Dez Bryant off the Cowboys or Antonio Brown off the Steelers or Julio Jones off the Falcons, you're going to have the same result.
Yeah. But I think, you know, since you brought that up, I don't know if the Dallas Cowboys wouldn't be a top 10 offense without Dez Bryant.
Okay, fine, Q. I'm going to push that aside.
I don't know about
I'm going to push that aside, but I'll throw the Steelers at you, and I'll throw the Falcons at you. What other team can I throw at you in terms of having a big weapon if you take more? How about the Texans without DeAndre Hopkins? What the heck would they look like?
Dolphins without Landry.
Yeah, well, I don't know about the Dolphins.
we're just talking about players.
But you guys made great points.
Brandon Marshall on the Jets.
Yes. I want to focus on the Giants.
Yes.
And the reason why I said that is because, like, I don't see any real glaring problem with the New York Giants. I mean, like, I can't stress it enough. I love what Jerry Reese did this season, but I just don't understand why he didn't prioritize, upgrading the offensive line. I would have made that a high priority.
Well, high priority was to improve a 32nd ranked defense. You start with that. And then the way we're on the offense, we've said it time and time again. They felt that the players that they have here, now this is their feeling, that the players they have here can compete and that there isn't anybody out there that we felt that was any better than the guys they have in the roster. Bottom line.
And quite frankly, and Q, the Giants might have been really interested in drafting some offensive linemen, but if those guys were off the board when they got there, then you know what? You're out of luck.
And once again, we didn't get to see the draft board. You know, there might have been some offensive linemen on there that got taken, like John said, that were off the board, and the next thing you know, their focus was on the next available player, and boom, there wasn't a lineman.
And obviously, Q, the Giants would have loved to sign a guy like, I'm sure, Asamel, who signed in the offseason, but he got a lot of money from where he went, and like Jeff said, the number one goal was to improve the defense. So, look. This team knew that they were trying to get better on all facets last offseason. They've said it. But it just didn't work out with the way the offseason came about, where they were able to add anybody on the offensive line of great significance.
And I will tell you this, Q.
Thanks for the call, Q. We got to run.
This roster, when the final 53-man roster comes out, even up until that Wednesday of the first game, right after the roster cuts,
correct,
and then 53, those 3 days, practice squads are established. These teams know who other players are on. There is going to be change to the reserve or the backup players, I promise you. And I'm not saying it particularly maybe at the offensive line position. They got their eyes on other guys. And if those other guys are better than any of their backups that are here, honestly, they're not going to go find a right tackle that just got cut from a team and he's going to come in and start on opening day against the Dallas Cowboys.
Let's go to JD in North Carolina. What's
up, JD? Where are you at in North Carolina, JD?
I'm actually in Charlotte.
Nice. Okay.
I got a couple of friends living in Charlotte. What's up, JD?
Not too much. I just want to touch on the offense a little bit.
Okay.
So, at least from what I've seen, it might be 3 years, maybe more, that the Giants have struggled to run an effective screen game.
It might be more than that, JD.
I think it's more than that. I'm going back like 10 years.
It might be more. I mean, I definitely remember, Bradshaw being used that way. Obviously, if you go all the way back to TP, I mean, that was one of his signature things was the TP screen, and it was extremely effective when they used to be able to execute it. And I think that's one of the big elements that's missing from the offense and is also detrimental to having an effective run game. you know, unless you have one of those O-lines that's consistently dominating the guy in front of them all the time, the overall success of the run game is really going to rely on being able to have some sort of misdirection and you know, solid execution and technique. And that screenplay is really what keeps defenses honest. And if you can't execute it, if they don't respect your screen game, then there's nothing to stop these guys from just going full force and just crushing your run game.
Well, remember this too. You don't have to just run screens for your running backs either. You can run a tight end screen. You can run a bubble screen for a wide receiver, which can have similar results.
Absolutely, and I mean any of that would be great. so that's really what I'm looking to see with the preseason games. Wins and losses they're essentially meaningless in the preseason games
because
that's not the intent of the coaches and the team. They're not really trying to win the game. They're trying to gather information that they need to make better decisions going forward.
Correct.
And I would love to see them be able to execute some screens, you know, in this game three going forward. If they can do that, as far as I'm concerned, that would really give me some confidence going forward in the run game, being able to get going because of the balance with that screen game. And I'd just like to hear your guys' thoughts on that.
Fair enough. I think that's a good call, JD. Appreciate it.
My thought on this is that, you know, if you look back at one of the best screen teams in the National Football League for a long time, it was the Packers.
And where did Ben McAdoo come from?
So I feel like, you know, that's a work in progress. I think it's going to get better. I think it got a little bit better last year with Vereen. So, you know, look for that to improve. It's a great point. And I feel like it is kind of an asset to be able to have that type of screen game. And if it works well, it can be very effective. So I think that Ben McAdoo is going to want to bring some of that stuff over. You got to have the personnel to do that. And I do remember that Tiki Barber was one of my teammates, by the way. So I remember back then when that was happening, and he did run a hell of a screen game.
Shane Vereen should be good at it too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. 201.
Good call.
939-4513. And look, that can take the teeth out of the pass rush sometimes in blitz packages.
Keeps them honest.
Makes you think. Absolutely. Let's go. And Jennings is a good receiver too. He can be using that screen game just as easily.
And there's nothing better than when you've gone like back to back plays and these guys got their ears pinned back and they've got pressure and all of a sudden, boom, there's the screen.
And, you know, and the thing about the screen is not the running backs have to sell it. Eli has to sell it. And that's the trick. The quarterback, it's almost like you're doing an acting job.
Yeah.
You have to sell it, and the offensive linemen have to sell it. You can't just let the guys run. You kind of have to give them a little bump and then slide out
the
and not
Giants,
make it obvious.
They like to run that middle screen.
They do.
The
so
little middle screen.
There is a lot
that's
of,
big on the offensive linemen.
There is a lot of deception, and that only comes from practicing and getting – and frankly, guys I think have to be innately good at that sort of stuff too, which can be tough.
All around. Practice, being good at it, selling it, and more importantly, effectively running it. That's the big thing.
Cal in Florida. We have three callers left. Let's get you all in before we say goodbye. Cal's up first. How are you, Cal?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing great, Cal. How are you?
Listener.
Hey, thanks for calling in. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Hey, I have a question. I mean, looking at last night's game with the Cowboys and Seahawks, I mean, being a Giants fan, you kind of have to be scared and think maybe this is 2012 all over again. We have to worry about the Cowboys with a number one rushing attack. And I just want to – I'll take my question off the air, but I just want to know, like, who do you guys think is the biggest threat going into this season with the Giants? I mean, we have a lot to prove on defense. And if we win our division, I mean, I honestly think it's an open road to the playoffs. I mean, once we get in the playoffs, I mean, that's Eli's show, and he just shows us what he can do in there. But, you know, I honestly – if we get two rushers that go over 400 yards, I honestly think that's all we need. I mean, we don't need a big rushing attack or anything. I don't really think that's what the Giants are looking for right now. But honestly, I just want to know, who do you guys think is, like, the biggest threat going into 2016 season, all right?
Thanks for calling, Cal. Appreciate it. Jeff, why don't you take it?
Well, I think that, you know, we talked a little bit about who's the X factor for Dallas. I mean, if Romo can stay healthy, that offense can run the football, keep their defense off the field because they don't have very many people on defense right now.
Especially not for the first four games.
I think that, you know, that would be probably my first concern. The second one is, you know, you look at the Redskins. You know, they won the NFC East last year. They've improved. They've got a couple of new running backs. Their defense needs to get a little bit better. All in all, to me, you know, the Eagles have a new head coach. All in all, I think this division is the parity in this division is very, very good this year. I think that, you know, they're all going to be stacked up in there. I think it's going to come down to what the division record will be for the Giants to be able to win this division.
I think you need 10. I think you need 10.
10 is definitely going to get you in. No question.
You don't think there's a chance two teams win 10?
No way.
Okay.
Nope. I don't think
I think 9-7 gives you a shot. I think if you want to be safe, I think you win 10.
I think there'll be 2-9-7 teams with, like I said, the division record to come down to who's going to be able to get that.
And as we've talked about, and I'll bring up the numbers right here, I don't want to take too much time on this because I want to get our final two calls in, but it just underscores the importance of these division games because the Giants, the last couple of years, have really struggled in the division.
Two and four last year.
I believe they were 2-4. I just wanted to double-check that before I confirmed that.
Were they 3-3 before?
They were last year 2-4 in the division. They beat Dallas once, and I guess they beat Philly once, right, if I'm not mistaken? Or did they beat Washington once last year? I think it was Washington.
Washington. They split with Washington.
And they split with Dallas. Year before, Giants in the division, 2-4. 2013.
A Cowboy win.
Let's
there.
Let's go back
and
to that. No, actually,
I think they got swept by Dallas last year. Last year, they stopped that streak.
You go back to the year before. Giants in the division, 3-3.
That's what it was.
And then you go back to 2012. This was the year the Giants just missed the playoffs. I believe this is the year they won 9 and did not make it. They went 3-3. And Lance did this study, and I forgot the exact number, but it's been something like only one team in the last 15 years has won the NFC East and not gone at least 4-2 in the division. So if you want to win the NFC East, you're probably going to have to go 4-2.
Right. Okay.
So week one, Dallas, let's start off on a good pace here and let's get it done.
1-0 in the division.
Roldy. I met Roldy at a training camp a few weeks ago. What's going on, pal?
Hi, Roldy.
What's going on? Good morning, John. Good morning, Jeff.
Hi, how are you?
Once again, John, thanks for showing me love.
No worries, man. I'm always happy when the listeners and the callers come out. Love to meet you guys.
He is a kind man. Really.
Yeah, definitely. I appreciate it. First and foremost, Charlie is not a legend, okay? Charlie is just a lonely, annoying dude that lives out in Maine that has a love of affection for Jerry Reese and talks about the same thing, which is the offensive line, as if we fans don't know what the situation is, but he wants to continue talking about the same thing. So please, tell Charlie that every day. He's annoying. He's not a legend. Please.
Perfect. You don't think he's a legend. But.
Well, we're going to hear from Charlie in about 2 minutes, Roldy.
He just lit up.
You're up next.
The hell with Charlie. He knows how much I have arguments with him every single day, every chance that I get.
Oh, man.
I said it, Charlie. Now,
we're running out of time, so we might get to Charlie.
As far as the tight end is concerned, how many tight ends do you think the Giants might keep on the 53-man?
You know, Roldy, it's much more interesting now because we all thought Will Johnson was a lock for this roster. Now we don't know how long this burner injury is going to keep him out. Are they going to put him on like IR designated to return? Is he just going to miss a few games and they're going to keep him on the active roster? I don't know how they're going to handle Will Johnson because I thought they could keep Will Johnson. He could be a tight end / fullback and they would keep four tight ends, him being one of the four because he'd also play fullback. If he can't go and they have to keep Whitlock as a fullback, then maybe you're only keeping three. I think it makes things a little bit more interesting there. Jeff, what do you think?
I agree. Spot on. I agree totally with that.
Go ahead, Roldy.
Okay. Now, with the injury to Darren Thompson, I mean, depending on his situation and everything, and with Matt Burry starting tomorrow. Now, if he has a preseason, is there a chance, and I'll take the answer off here, is there a chance that Matt Burry, if he has a really good game, can take that starting safety position back? I know Ivan on Twitter is probably not going to be happy with that if he does become the starting safety. But is there a chance he could be a safety? And then I'll take your answer off here.
Thank you, Roldy.
Yeah, Charlie, you ain't no legend, all right? Stop being annoying. We all know about the offensive line. You're boring.
All right. Based on what we heard from Steve Spagnuolo yesterday, based on what we heard from Dave Merritt, Dave Merritt yesterday on Thursday, I think this is Darian Thompson's spot.
Yeah.
I don't think Burhe would have to put together some type of performance the next 2 weeks to take that job because they're, quite frankly, pretty darn happy with the job that Darian Thompson's done.
And I he brings a lot to that position. He's a playmaker. He's smart. And, you know, I think Nat Burhe, they've wanted him before Darian Thompson was here. They wanted him to be that guy.
And you know what? I should have brought this up before the start, before we got the caller. I thought it was a great point by Dave Merritt yesterday. And I thought maybe, even with all the crew stuff, which I got wrapped up in, might have been the most important thing said during media yesterday. When Landon Collins came into the NFL, when he came out of Alabama, in fact, let me look at what he weighed in at the combine. He came in as a very heavy safety. Okay, he came
in. We'll call
him
thick.
He's listed on the Giants' website at 225. I think in college, 240. He might have actually played around 230 or so. At the combine, he weighed in at 228. And you know, you drop weight between the end of the season and the combine because you're getting in shape. So figure he played between, let's say, 230 and 235 at Alabama. Okay. Let's say. Dave Merritt said yesterday, and I'll be honest, I didn't notice the weight loss, but now that they mention it, I guess I do see it especially in the face. He's playing right now at 216.
Nice. That's going
to
help him.
If you're dropping 10 to 15 pounds, I think as a safety, your ability to move, and Dave Merritt said, change direction specifically, becomes much better if you play at a lighter weight.
Sure.
And I think – we've seen Landon Collins. You know, he's never going to be Charles Woodson covering like a corner out there, which is fine. But I think we've all seen him be more active and cover more ground back there this year. And I think that's a big reason why. So much credit to Landon Collins for realizing one of the things he had to do to become a better football player.
Good for him.
And it looks like he's done it.
That's what, hey, that's being a, that's trying to, that's growing up. That's,
yes.
You know, really taking your job seriously. Listening to the coaches, discipline takes a lot of discipline. We all know that everybody's tried to lose weight. It takes a lot of discipline. And so, you know, that's going to help him. That hard work is going to help him this season. The 16 games he played last year is going to help him this season.
And I'm honestly annoyed that I didn't bring it up earlier in the year because I think that, along with the experience, we hope Landon Collins has a breakout Pro Bowl caliber, or at least, you know, someone that you would consider for the Pro Bowl type of season in year number two.
I feel that even though Darian Thompson is a young guy, and certainly we'll see if he's becomes the starter, I think he has a lot of knowledge. He's a football guy. His acumen is really good. That's going to help Landon Collins too. Between those two guys, you know, getting along and studying and learning the game together, that relationship is going to be very important for those two safeties as the season goes on.
Well, you hope the secondary is now a strength. Couple of years, I don't think it was. But you hope this year it's going to be. Let's get to Charlie real quick. Charlie, give me your retort to Roldy.
Hey, Roldy keeps trying to, you know, fly on my coattails, man. You know? It's like Odell said to, what's his face, the cornerback from Washington.
Wait, hold on. So, Charlie, you're calling yourself Odell Beckham, and you're calling Roldy Josh Norman. Is that what's going on here?
Sure. Riding on my coattails. And the other thing is, I'm not the happy caller either, so remember that.
That's true.
Like McAdoo said.
All right, hey, give me 1 point today, Charlie. We got to run.
Yeah, I know. I really don't. You know, the only thing you were talking about is screen pass. Well, that's one thing our offensive line can do really well is let the guys rush. And, you know, so we should do well
with that. See, he's funny. That's why I like Charlie, because the line's like that. It's a good line.
So that's all I got,
They've
guys.
Got that technique down,
Thank
right?
you, Charlie. Charlie called in to tell a joke. That's why Charlie called in today, to tell a joke.
Well, he's pretty quick on his feet there, so that's good. Cause
Charlie is clever. Yeah. I will give that. Charlie is a clever
what
guy.
What is your mental picture of? I know we see
I think we're entered into the disco here. It looks like our lights flash a little bit. I don't know what's going on. Be quick. I'm going to have a seizure if I stay in this thing any longer.
My mental picture of Charlie is out in a boat and in the water somewhere on a satellite, you know, being able to call
on a satellite phone?
Yeah, just like, you know, just out there with a big, you know, a big lobster trap just listening to us every single day.
See, I see more like
not a worry in the world.
Sitting on like a tree stump of a tree that just got cut down by like lumberjacks in the forest.
Yeah.
That's how I kind of see it.
All right.
All right. Let's go, folks. Jeff Fiegel's John Smong, Big Blue Kickoff Live. You can see us on the Giants, Coors Light Giants Game Day pregame show on Saturday
that
night.
That is not a disco ball.
On WFAN, 6:35 we start. Make sure you check it out.
Wow.
We'll see you then. We'll see you on Monday on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Enjoy the dress rehearsal, Jets and Giants, MetLife Ball on Saturday night. Have a good one, everybody.